the Totally Transformed podcast. We're so glad you're with us today. We're excited to be continuing a series that we started last week on the two streams. And my name is Lance Borden, and I'm here today with Dr. Connie Borden, and she is my mom, if you haven't listened before. And so it's my great privilege to get to do this podcast with her today. And so tell us where we're going today, Mom.
Okay, I'll do that. And, you know, I'm so excited because I know we're getting regular listeners that are listening from podcast to podcast. And if you're one of those and you haven't notified your friends and family about this important information that can be listened to through just about any device they have, free of charge, we're trying to make them about 20 to 30 minutes max. And the information is really a lifetime of distillation of wisdom and education and ministry and our own experiences. So I hope that you'll continue to listen. And so where we're going today is that we ended last time with talking about there are two streams of that need to come together. You know, a stream can be rolling down a mountain or a hillside, and at some point it's going to come together and meet another stream. And we want the stream of cognitive restructuring, which in a nutshell is defined as thinking about what you're thinking about and restructuring your thoughts to be around the truth of God via the Bible or the Word, because Jesus is the Word, rather than around the lies of the enemy or the lies of the world or whoever it is that have put lies in your heart or soul. We want that to be addressed. And then we have also realized through the experience and ministry that we've had that if you're wounded or hurt, and those are not processed and healed, since Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound, that lies can be resident through those wounds. Because if you're rejected and someone says you're ugly or you'll never amount to anything or you're dumb or stupid, that those lies can be self-fulfilling prophecies and come up in your spirit, invade your soul, your mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers your will and emotions. And so we're going to be talking about in the next couple podcasts on how to restructure your thoughts to be biblically true and how to heal the wounds that potentially produces those lies, as well as some other manifestations that are self-defeating and very helpful to the enemy to destroy you.
I'm excited about getting to talk about the five R's to victory in your thought life, because this works.
Amen.
It works in your mind to change the way you think.
Yes.
And if you will go through these five steps, you will win every time.
Right.
If you choose to go through all five of these steps.
That's
so
right.
If you have the ability to either take notes or go back and listen to the five R's again as we present them one at a time, please do that until you really get it down. Because the reason why it's called five R's is because every word actually begins with the letter R, and it's done that way to help us to remember what the steps are. And it's just really a matter then of getting the order down and how to attack things. But even if you got it out of order, the basic principles apply, that we're essentially recognizing wrong thoughts, we're rebuking the enemy, we're reciting God's word, we're resisting the appropriate spirit, and then we're rejoicing in God that we have the victory.
Right. And they all start with R. I usually tell my clients that come in for care and ministry to try to memorize them, because they all start with R. So that's called alliteration in English, which makes it easier to remember. But most importantly, I just want to remind the listening audience, our ministry is called Totally Transformed for a reason. Because Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world or the devil or the way the world or the devil thinks, but be transformed by renewing your mind so you will know what the acceptable and good will of the Father is. So therefore, if you don't do something and you don't think about what you're thinking about and you don't follow some formula, and we're not trying to put any kind of law or rule on somebody, but we're just trying to make people understand, after seeing hundreds of clients and seeing what the enemy is doing in the church, the home, and the school, that our thinking is very powerful. And, you know, what a man thinks in his heart, so he is.
And it's all based in Scripture.
It is. It's all based in Scripture.
It's just really packaged in this five R's way so that it's, again, easy to remember. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started. So how would you introduce the first R?
Well, I would say the first R is that we have so much bombardment on our minds and we can be so distracted that you don't recognize what you're thinking about. It's very interesting when clients come in, I say, you know, if you left my office right now, would you be driving down the street and be thinking really intensely, but never ask yourself what you're thinking about, who is the source of those thoughts, and are they productive or destructive? And they go, you know, you're right. I mean, thinking is, I know my listening audience has had the experience of even reading a chapter of the Bible and not knowing a thing that they've read. Because your mind can drift and take on other things to think about from your memories, imagination, or just your thoughts. So if you don't recognize what you're thinking about, you're not going to identify who's speaking to you or if it's destructive for you.
And it's so easy to go down a path of thoughts that get us in trouble.
Yes.
So that if we're vigilant and we're recognizing where our mind is going, it will really save us from a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I kind of like to think of it as the principle of the iceberg.
Yes.
Where when you see an iceberg, you're really seeing the proverbial tip of the iceberg, the part of the iceberg that's above the surface of the water.
Right.
But below the surface is a gigantic mass, usually, that you can't see.
Correct.
And that's what happened to the Titanic. The Titanic hit an iceberg that it couldn't see, as far as I understand.
Yes.
And when we start thinking, and we're always thinking,
yes,
when we're driving, when we're taking a shower, when we're even doing tasks at work, usually we have kind of a two-track thing going where we're maybe doing a task, and maybe it's a task that we've done over and over and over again, and so we're sort of on autopilot doing that task. And over here on the other track, we're actually thinking about things that really matter, right? Our family, our relationships, our children, our spouses, our whatever. And that track can be either positive and centered on God and focused on Jesus, or it can be negative and pessimistic and bitter and taking us down to the bottom of the iceberg where we're going to get in a lot of trouble and probably get into a downward spiral of thinking that can really begin to color our lives and our abilities to really be healthy in our Christian walk, frankly, right?
Right. And you have a choice. You set your will to think, imagine, and remember, like you said, constructive, positive thoughts, particularly rooted in the word, or negative, destructive thoughts. And whatever you choose to think about, your emotions in that downward spiral that you're talking about will definitely follow. And you said another term I want to define. You said they're automatic. Oftentimes, our thoughts are just automatic, and psychology calls that automatic thoughts. They also call it automatic dysfunctional thoughts, or could be automatic functional thoughts. It's whatever you decide to do. But the bottom line is the word there, automatic, means that we're thinking deeply, automatically, without thinking or asking what we're thinking about. And it isn't that you don't set your will to do it. It's just that if you have been thinking constructively or destructively long enough, particularly if you've gone through hurt and rejection and wounding, then you're automatically going to think those thoughts until you do something like this process to recognize what you're thinking about and to replace those destructive thoughts with constructive ones.
2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ."
Amen.
And I love that word picture
that
Paul uses in 2 Corinthians to say we're actually taking the thought into captivity.
Yeah.
In other words, putting it in prison, if you will, in our minds until we can bring it to Christ.
Right.
I like another word picture that actually Jimmy Evans said is when a thought comes across, he basically described it as, you know, putting like a spear under its throat and saying, you go to Jesus right now and present yourself to Jesus so that his thoughts are in fact obedient. Because if that thought is somehow out of alignment with Jesus or the Word of God, then that thought has got to go.
And I like to think about it as a piece of trash. Your mind can be construed as a computer. So whatever you put in the computer can be brought out of the computer. Whatever you put in your mind can come out in thoughts or actions or behavior. So I think of myself, if a thought comes across, here's a piece of trash that I can actually refuse to think about, and I actually literally throw it in a trash can. So that's because that's where it belongs. It's garbage. It's negativity from the enemy. And if you do that, you're going to find that your actions, your behavior, your emotions, your trajectory to be an effective Christian for Christ, significant, is going to significantly change under the auspices of your control and your will regarding what you put in, what you think, imagine, or remember. I actually have a chapter in the book, chapter 21, Saved But Not Free, How to Avoid Deception. In other words, you can be deceived if you believe lies, but you can avoid deception by not receiving deception or lies, because Satan is a father of lies and he wants to deceive you and make you think about things that are not true. And oftentimes he gives you just enough truth to be a lie so he can fool you.
You know, what's interesting in this first R, recognize and reject the wrong thoughts, is that we're acknowledging that there is a moral absolute.
Yes.
There is a right and a wrong way to think.
Absolutely.
And it's either the right way is in alignment with God's word.
Right.
The wrong way is in disagreement with God's word. And so you've got to be able to come to the place where you know you're right when you're agreeing with God's word, which means you're agreeing with him, and be able to demonstratively say to yourself and to the enemy whenever wrong thoughts come in, no, that's wrong. I'm throwing it away from myself because I'm not going to go down a wrong track of thinking.
Right.
We can't be ambivalent.
Right.
We've got to be able to call a spade
right.
when it comes to our thoughts in order to recognize what's wrong and what's not.
And in your thoughts, you can't serve two masters, the Lord and Satan, because you'll love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. And again, Lance, just to reiterate, we feel like we're talking mainly to a Christian audience. In other words, a Christian audience is saved. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, confessed their sins, asked him to forgive them from all their sins, and made him Lord of their lives. Those people, we're assuming, understand that they're under attack from the enemy because he doesn't like Christians, because he wants to destroy them. John 10:10, I've come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give you life and life more abundantly. And this is one of the avenues he's trying to destroy. And we're assuming that if they're a Christian, they know that the best thing that they could ever think about would be Jesus, who is the word, John 1:1, and use it as a sharp two-edged sword, dividing the soul, which is where the mind that thinks, imagines, and remembers the will and emotions that can be inundated with negativity, from the spirit realm. The spirit realm is the truth realm. That's the faith realm. That's where God resides. That's what came into our spirit when we got saved. But we have to make sure that spirit is strong and it's overcoming the soulish flesh realm, and that we're not letting the soul and the flesh and the devil and all that's involved make us dwell on things he wants us to, rather than what the kingdom does. Now, if you're not saved, you know, you need to be saved. You know, get in touch with us. You know, go to a church, find out how to be saved. Basically, I just told you. But, you know, it may seem rather weird to you if you're not saved and you're hearing this podcast, because you may think just positive thoughts are good enough. And there's a lot of pop psychology and a lot of exhortation speakers and motivational speakers. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not going to cut out and do divine surgery when you have been meditating and making neural pathways in your brain for years on lie-based thinking. And Dr. Carolyn Leaf has written two books, Who Turned On Your Brain and Who Turned Off Your Brain, a medical doctor that has shown the research that if you think and think and think and think, whether it's positive or negative, you're going to make a neural pathway in your brain, and that's why your thoughts can go back to it so automatically. And if it's been negative, you're going to have to disrupt that by the sharp, edged word that's powerful and alive. A positive thought isn't powerful and alive.
And it is a choice.
It is a choice.
This is this does require discipline in your mind, right? Because
absolutely.
Your flesh will autopilot, go into bad things all the time if you just leave it unchecked.
Yes.
Right? So it is a choice to begin to take an inventory of your thoughts and discipline them so that they're not going down the wrong pathways.
Which is a cross to bear, so to speak, if you're trying to lead people into freedom. because it isn't just a nice thing to do. It isn't just my brownie points that I completed my devotions today, although that's all good. It's a literal mandate in the Word to meditate on the Word day and night, Psalm 1, so you'll have success in all your ways. In other words, I just want to exhort the listening audience that if you don't see this first R and you don't see this process, then you're probably being subtly but powerfully deceived and overcome by the enemy by just your thoughts. And so this is why it's so important to us. We were talking before we started. Help us, Lord, to get this across. It's not just a nice thing to do. The enemy's on the warpath. He has you under attack. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is what Peter says. Withstand him, using the weapons of your warfare, as Lance just noted in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. And this is a process to implement those weapons. And if you don't do it, you're going to be overcome.
All right. So you ready to go on to step two?
Yes.
Or the second R?
Yes.
The second R is resist the devil. And it comes from James 4:7, which says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, God didn't make us to be runners.
Right.
He wants us to be resistors.
Right.
And he wants us to be putting on our full armor, according to Ephesians 6:11 through 18, to be able to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just said, the enemy is after us. Mm-hmm. He's in fact stalking us and right. wanting to kill, steal from, and destroy us. And therefore, we've got to be in a defensive posture,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And most of the armor we have is defensive. And then we have the most powerful offensive weapon, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
That should also be used. And we'll talk about that here in a second in one of the following R's.
Just one more point about resisting the devil, or the third R we'll talk about in a minute. And I think we've talked about this in another podcast. But you have to understand, when you became a Christian, you received all authority over the enemy.
Luke 10:19.
And do you want to read it? Do you have it?
I don't have it, but I'll look it up. Go ahead.
Okay. And so as my listening audience here, you don't have to be afraid of resisting the devil in the name of Jesus. Satan recognizes Jesus. He recognizes the name of Jesus. He recognizes the word of Jesus. Jesus used the word in the wilderness when Satan attacked him. And you have to believe by faith and understand that you have that same authority. If you say, in Jesus' name, I resist you, devil, according to James 4:7, as Lance said, he will obey if you believe that.
Luke 10:19 says, and this is Jesus speaking, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And snakes and scorpions there isn't talking about literal snakes and scorpions, but those are representations of demonic spirits and the enemy that we're resisting.
Right.
And Jesus there, in effect, gives us his authority in his name.
That's right.
Right. It's not in Connie's name. It's not in Lance's name.
No.
It's not in your name. It's in Jesus's name that we have that authority, but we do have it given to us by Jesus himself.
But if you don't know that and you don't believe it, I would look up this scripture and start reading and meditating on it and committing it to memory, which is another R that we'll talk about in just a minute, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So you have to equip yourself with the truth of the word, because when Satan says to you, oh, don't resist me, I'll jump all over you, you'll be in danger, I'll do this, I'll do that, you have to say, no, you won't. You were defeated at Calvary when Jesus defeated you and made a show of you openly then. And you are defeated today in my life when I resist you in the name of Jesus. And you will be defeated tomorrow. And if you hold your ground and stand like it says to do when we're standing against the enemy and the word, he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Could it be any clearer? If you do it, he'll do it, right?
Right. I mean, there's a promise there.
That's right.
Right.
But you got to believe the promise, right?
Right. Okay. You got to believe it.
Right.
Yep. You got to believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
And we have authority through his name. You have to believe that and practice it, because he'll keep coming back. I mean, you know, Jimmy Evans did a sermon yesterday on exposing the enemy, and he had a mortal fear of preaching. And the enemy kept coming back to him. Oh, you can't preach. You're going to get mixed up. You're going to do all kinds of wrong things. But he had to take authority in the name of Jesus over that spirit of fear and resist the devil in Jesus' name. And so we're going to go on now to talk about the third R, which is?
The third R is rebuke the appropriate spirit in the strong name of Jesus.
Right. And, you know, the reason why we have a resist the devil, you understand when Satan fell from heaven because of pride and going against the Lord in rebellion, a third of the angels fell with him. So he does have an army of spirits that can attack you. That's why 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and love and of a sound judgment and mind. So the bottom line is, we believe, and I think it's clear in that scripture, that not only can Satan be attacking you, he can set out his minions to attack you. And people say, well, how do I know which spirit to rebuke? What is plaguing you? Like, you know, I was telling you, Jimmy Evans was talking about fear was plaguing him. That's a very common one. Anxiety can plague you. Anger can plague you. Lustful thoughts can plague you. I mean, I just say, what is it that you're having a problem with? Loneliness, depression. So in the name of Jesus, I resist you, devil, and I rebuke a spirit of loneliness, depression, anxiety, fear, also in the name of Jesus. So you're not only just taking care of Satan, you're taking care of the demonic realm who is also assigned to come against you and destroy you. And there's no wrong way to do this. I think people are walking in fear about the order of this. Don't walk in fear about that. Don't walk in fear whether you get it exactly right. If you have your authority and you know it by what we've already said, and you resist the devil and rebuke a spirit that's plaguing you in the name of Jesus, they have to go. And I just want you to remember this too, and this will be the next podcast. They feed on your negative emotions and hurts, infecting and worsening them. So if you have a wound that's not addressed, that's why these two streams need to come together, you are more vulnerable. Like, for example, if you lived with an oppressive father that verbally and physically abused you, you are more vulnerable to the spirit of fear because you'd learned fear at the hands of somebody that was supposed to love you. So it's clear that whatever you're continuing to deal with as a stronghold can generate or emanate from your wounds too. And so sometimes that's why you can identify it. People know whether they're walking in fear all their life. That I'm afraid, I mean, it can go from I have a fear of people all the way to I can't leave my house, agoraphobia it's called, because I am scared to death that something dangerous is going to happen to me. That is bondage. And that's why Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound. And I just want to give a couple examples from my life. I had a fear of confrontation. I had a fear of confrontation, especially with men in authority, because I had an abusive father. And until I recognized it, rebuked the devil in Jesus' name, and in this case, resisted a spirit of fear of being rejected, fear of rejection from men, I wasn't free from it. I had, you know, and the Lord delivers in different ways. We're not trying to put you in a box, but we're saying that anything that's destructive and puts you in bondage is not of the Lord. And so one time I was feeling tremendous pressure and I was standing at my window rinsing some dishes for the dishwasher. And I just said, I recognize this pressure isn't from God. I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke a spirit of pressure. And it lifted, you know, and, you know, I'm saying if that doesn't work, okay, well, you know, what did it hurt? But, you know, some people say to me when they come in to see me, well, do you think there's a demon under every bush? I said, no, I think there's about 50. And that's not to trouble you. It's to make you aware. If you've ever read the Peretti books where he puts the underworld in a common societal situation, I know and you know, because the word is clear, that the enemy is trying to harass us and defeat us. And so, you know, whether you resist the devil or rebuke the appropriate spirit or rebuke the devil, I like to resist the devil because that's definitely scriptural in James 4. But if you resist an appropriate spirit, it's just five R's that go through the process of making sure you're covering the bases continually so you go on a new track of thinking the truth.
In no way, shape, or form are we trying to glorify Satan.
No.
Or demon spirits here.
No.
What we are saying is that they are real and that they are players in the world.
Right.
And so we have authority over them. And we just need to use that authority. And they're not this big, you know, movies and Hollywood portrays demonic activity as scary, take you over,
right.
You know, kill people, just exorcist, grotesque stuff.
Right.
And it's actually only when we give place
right.
to the demonic that it can have any authority over us.
Right.
And the moment we come to Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior and begin to use the authority he's given us, they are like cockroaches that you just simply step on
right.
and get rid of. They are not something to be afraid of because Jesus has given us that authority we read in Luke 10:19.
And I just want to say you made a good point. We're not trying to glorify Satan or give them more power. But the other extreme of that is not to even be aware that you're in a spiritual battle. And, you know, the Lord has called you to fight the good fight of faith. I always like to say it's a good fight because we've already won. If we know how to win, the weapons of our warfare, we have to know because they are not carnal. They are spiritual and mighty to the pulling down of strongholds from the enemy.
All right. Step four.
Yeah.
Is to recite what God's word says about your problem area and renew your mind. You got to get two R's there. Recite what God's word says and renew your mind.
Right.
Recite what God's word says about your problem area and renew your mind. And Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And there are other scriptures like Psalm 1 that talks about meditating on God's word day and night. And you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that yields its fruit in season. And then there's Joshua 1:8 that says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." It's just so amazing what's at our fingertips with
Absolutely.
The word of God and
Absolutely.
how simple really right. it is if we will choose to meditate on it day and night. And, you know, sometimes people will say, "Well, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
You know, my day is so busy. I barely have time to even read the word." And now you're talking about memorizing and meditating on it. You know, come on, give me a break. But the fact of the matter is it really shouldn't take any extra time. For example, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, I'm just telling you something I've learned over time. All it requires is looking at the scripture, saying it, reading it a couple of times, and getting it into your heart and mind so you can begin to ruminate on it. Like
right.
last night, I wanted to be meditating on scripture as I went to sleep. So I simply picked up my phone, looked at the verse that I'm working on so I could get it in my mind and so that I could meditate on it as I was falling asleep. That didn't take me any extra time. It took me 30 seconds to pick up my phone and look at it. So it's just a matter of choosing that when you know your mind is going to be on autopilot, like when you're falling asleep or like when you're taking a shower or like when you're driving to work, to have the word ready. And we all have these wonderful devices called cell phones, smartphones these days that have the word at our fingertips on BibleGateway.com, BibleHub.com. There's a great app called Scripture Typer that you can download. Scripture Typer, like you're typing on a computer, that helps you to catalog scriptures and have them as a quick reference. I mean, it really is amazing how simple and easy it is to get to it. And if you don't know how to find or you don't know what scriptures you should be memorizing, simply take the area that you struggle in most, whether that be fear, lust, anxiety, what have you, and type into Google, into your favorite browser, scriptures on fear, scriptures on anxiety, and you'll get a litany there to begin to memorize. And it's not about quantity, wouldn't you
right.
say? It's
Absolutely.
About quality.
Right.
So even if there's only one scripture that you feel like addresses your situation, if you spend a year memorizing that scripture, you're going to be better off than you would if you didn't.
Because here's the lie I just heard, and I get this lie from clients. "Well, that's too hard. Or I have to do so much. Or I'm not good at memorization. I don't even like to read." And I'm saying those are lies from the enemy, because as Lance just explained, it can be done by eating the elephant one bite at a time. And any type of focus on the word qualifies as meditation. It qualifies. And another scripture says the Lord is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if you want to be obedient, we are supposed to be obedient as Christians. Psalm 27:8 says, this is the Amplified Classic, "You have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence as your vital need. My heart says to you, Lord, your presence will I seek for, inquire for, and require of necessity on what? The authority of your word." You know, if we don't know the authority of the word, if we don't know the word calls us to seek for and inquire for the Lord, if we don't know he'll reward us when we diligently seek him, if we don't know we can have the mind of Christ and how to get there, then more than likely you will not do this choice. And then you will be clueless when the enemy attacks you, because you will not have the sword of the Spirit, which is one, the offensive weapon of our warfare, that's in the armor of God.
I'm teaching my little boy about the armor of God over time. So when we pray together to put on the armor, we actually draw our sword out of our sheath. And, you know, in other words, making the motion of that, even though we're not actually physically wearing a sword.
Right.
And it's getting it into his mind that this is an actual physical weapon that he has, not a physical weapon, that this is an actual spiritual weapon that he has to use his mind to draw out, to point at the enemy as he starts his day. Right.
Right.
And it's so very much like that. That is so true, that we must take it up. We must take up the armor of God, and it's available to all of us. And it doesn't require going to seminary.
No.
It is a tool set that we've been given to just make it through life and overcome the enemy.
And that's a physical analogy to a spiritual reality. You know, you have to look at that in a spiritual imagination. That, yes, you don't see the enemy right in front of you. He's never going to come up in front of you in a red coat and pitchfork. You have to know and believe by the word that he's a spirit and he is after you. And that sword that Lance just talked about, that he uses as a physical sword with his little boy, is a spiritual analogy that when you use the word, it's like you took your sword out of this sheath and you struck the enemy, cut off his head, and cut out the lie that he was trying to place in your brain.
All right, so the fifth step is to rejoice in all things. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," to rejoice, in other words. It's really essential that we continually cultivate an attitude of gratitude, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, we really need to be grateful people, giving thanks in all things.
Right.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
So here, Lance, we have another choice of our will. You may be going through a trial, a persecution, a discipline. Things may not be going so well in your life today. And we're not saying not to address the problem. You have to think about what's going on. But we are saying that you can meditate on a victorious outcome through praising the Lord in gratitude for all the blessings he's given you. We could talk a day about listing his blessings while you're going through that process of feeling negative and taking authority over the enemy, who wants to use something as an opportune time to have you go in that downward spiral. And so if you say, look, I'm going to do these 5 R's, I'm going to go through this process, and then I'm going to say, Lord, thank you that in the midst of this trial, as that scripture just said that Lance quoted, that you are with me in this trial. I could have anxiety, but your word says not to. But in everything by prayer with thanksgiving. What are we thankful for? For the trial? Well, maybe, because all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But because God's going through it with you, and he said you could set your mind on his peace, it would mount garrison around your heart and soul if you choose to. Or you can meditate on all the negative outcomes, most of which never happens. 82% of what we dread or fear never happens. So if you don't have any proof for it, then why not shift to a spirit of gratitude? Sometimes it's called a sacrifice of praise in the Bible while you're working through the problem instead of going down to the dungeon or the basement with Satan.
And it invites the presence of God in because yes. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people.
Right.
And so really we should be praising God before, during, and after every trial.
Right.
Right? Because we want his presence with us continuously.
Right.
Because God in us is greater than the devil in the world.
Yeah. And I've imagined this picture. Satan is trying to attack Connie Borden or Lance Borden or whoever we're talking to. And he starts to attack you. And you start recognizing his negativity. You rebuke him in Jesus' name. You resist him in Jesus' name. You rebuke a spirit of fear or anxiety or worry, whatever it is. You recite God's word and you start rejoicing. My imagination tells me Satan's going, what is wrong with Connie Borden today? I've attacked her in every way I know how. And when I do, she does just the opposite of what I expect her to do. And I think we confuse the confuser, and I think he has to flee, as the word says.
All right, well, let's pray.
Okay.
Lord God, we're just so thankful that you've given us these tools,
Lord,
be able to fight back against the enemy.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that we get to resist the devil in Jesus' name once we recognize the wrong thought. We
yes,
get to
Lord.
Rebuke the appropriate spirit in the strong name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We get to recite your word, which is the sword of the spirit, and we get to rejoice continuously in all things. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring these things back to our minds, that we would remember how to do, and even if we just do two or three of the five steps, God, bring them back to our minds and help us in our resisting the devil, because you've given us the victory already. In Jesus' name we pray.
And Lance, let me just pray one other thing. Lord, give our listeners a revelation about the importance of knowing you through your word, because you are the word. Make it seep deep on the inside of them that this is just not a suggestion. It is truth, and they must listen, obey, and choose to do it if they're going to be victorious in this walk, in this life, against Satan. In Jesus' name, I agree with Lance, and we pray, amen.
If you'd like to connect with us, you can go to totallytransformed.org and connect with us there. And one thing we didn't say at the beginning of this is that these 5 R's was originally put out by a guy named John Ergel, and we want to give him credit. And then those have been expanded on. But connect with us at totallytransformed.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Totally Transformed Ministries, or follow us on Twitter at TOT Transformed. Thank you so much for being with us here today. Come back next time for the Totally Transformed podcast.